Since Joe's not here, I feel like we can talk about him a little bit. He cut his hair. I saw him in Charlotte. Oh, you cut your hair.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how like women say it is like you're disappointed a little bit? And I was just like, I'm just used to the slick back kind of Italian look.
It's his vibe.
I'm trying to adjust to this, mm-hmm. but I'm not really used to you having a shortcut. So it's going to take me a second. It's good though.
Yeah.
You could just tell personally he felt a little bit like, you know?
It's like, are you like, saying it'll look good?
Right now? I was like, it looks great. I'm just used to the slick back, you know, very much about my business. So I still love you though. Still love you. I know if you're listening, just know I still love it.
Yeah, he's kicking it on vacation right now. One of these ACC kickoffs, I'm just going to show up with a mustache and throw everybody off.
Why?
I don't know. Probably would have gone better with the 40s, honestly.
That was very interesting. Yeah, why did you pour it out in the trash can?
Well, because where else were we going to pour it out? We can do it on the radio equipment. So if you missed it, we were at ACC kickoff last week. We're going into the last season of division play in the ACC. And nobody cares about people are happy to see the Atlantic go.
The Atlantic is happy to see the Atlantic go.
Yeah, like NC State, Boston College, Wake Forest.
Dorn was not for it. He liked the 110-year tradition with Wake Forest. He did not like the 355 model. Well, both of them
They could have kept the Wake Forest one if they really wanted to. Nobody was asking to see Duke every season. They just wanted to see Duke more than once every six seasons.
Wake got screwed to me when it came to teams in the 355 model.
I agree with you on that one, but it's Wake. Sorry.
You got to play somebody. But it's not Wake anymore.
Well, I get that, but that's why when the predicted order of finish comes out tomorrow, I do think that Clemson's still going to be number one to win the Atlantic. I think coming out of ACC kickoff, I think people like fired up Dabo. I think they feel that if DJ can't be the QB, they've got these other guys coming up. You know how many times I heard, hey, you know, Kelly Bryant got yanked four games in and you saw what happened, as though, you know, you just have Trevor Lawrence's lying around.
I'm just saying.
Right? Although if you're Clemson, you probably thought that way.
1,000%.
Given the line of QBs that have been coming through. So I think it's going to be it's like an election, right? It's like there's going to be the hipster candidate that's going to take votes away from somebody. And I'm telling you, after kickoff, what's going to happen is that Clemson's going to be the number one team coming out. Not because people are overwhelmingly thinking Clemson's going to do it, is that the hipster votes are going to come in for Wake. It was the whole, hey, Dave Clawson's done nothing but win games, and you know he's got that thing over NC State. Who's to say that he can't do it again? Which is correct. I'm not disagreeing with that sentiment.
Sure.
It just kind of takes away from the whole point of NC State, of what we've seen over the last 2 years going into this third season and Devin Leary. I mean, there's a reason why NC State's kind of picking up steam when it comes to, you know, gambling things and things like that, which I'll get to in a second. But you talked about the 40s.
Yeah.
So Giglio went and bought some 40s of High Life at like 7:55 in the morning at a convenience store, which, as one does in Uptown Charlotte. And we decided to pour one out for the Coastal, a division that people will actually miss because of Coastal Chaos. Why a trash can?
Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing the Westin would not have appreciated it if we poured 40s of High Life onto the carpet.
It would have been more elite had one of the coaches actually took a swig. Who thought about it? Say it.
Pat Narduzzi wanted to. He really did. Until I warned him, hey, man, that beer's been sitting here room temperature since 8:30 in the morning.
That didn't even phase him, I'm sure.
Well, it didn't phase me because I did take a swig from...
Did you?
Yeah, at the end of the video. Thanks for watching the whole video, Candace. At the end of the video, Giglio and I do drink from the 40s outside Bank of America Stadium.
Oh, I just saw the gifs of...
Mac Brown?
Collins.
What?
Pouring it out.
Oh, it was... We had...
It wasn't him?
No, we had Pat Narduzzi do it. We had Mac Brown do it.
You didn't have... Jeff Collins definitely did
it. Jeff Collins walked by, but he didn't want to do it.
Somebody put... Well, Jeff Collins look alike.
Maybe it was.
Y'all Keaton, look alike, so.
Keaton Thompson almost dumped the whole thing.
Yeah, he almost dumped the whole thing out.
he was really feeling it.
You know, he is an FBP, so he doesn't know his, you know, he's still getting a handle on things. But.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So I Jeff Collins definitely did it. I don't care what you say. I'm going to find a GIF.
All right, go find the GIF. not all coaches look alike, Candace.
The ones that I've seen at ACC do.
Maybe.
Shout out Tony Elliott and Gina Babers, though. My dogs.
Candace Cooper locked on ACC is hanging out with us. Julio's on vacation. So Fox Sports Bet put out some odds for the college football season and teams to win it all. And looky here. NC State is in the top 10 best bets. This is what they have to say. This is written by Jason McIntyre. Mm-hmm. Only college football diehards will know that Wolfpack QB Devin Leary threw 35 touchdowns last season. Only college football diehards know that. Every NC State fan knows that. They tweet about it all the time.
As they should.
They should, absolutely. NC State's defense also ranked in the top 20 most metrics. The Wolfpack will need a historic amount of chaos to get into the college football playoff, but it's a fun lottery ticket to have if you have pizza money to spare. It's like 10 bucks. You put 10 bucks down on NC State, you can win $1,500 in return.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I would put my money on NC State. Yeah,
why not?
I picked them, since we're talking about votes, I picked them to win the whole kit and caboodle.
Really?
I also picked them to win the Atlantic.
Beating who?
Beating Miami. Stop it.
I really do think, the more I think about it, I think Carolina's actually going to rep the Coastal this year.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What? Give?
Yeah.
Who is their starting quarterback?
Doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
They're both so good.
What?
Didn't you know?
Okay.
Nah, I think Drake May eventually takes that thing over.
I mean, Jacoby's been there too long to feel like I feel confidence in.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one as well.
But why do you think they're going to win the Coastal?
One, Coastal chaos. There's nobody that's overwhelmingly great in the Coastal again. I mean, we know who's not going to be good. That's going to be Duke. But I do think that Mike Elko.
No,
here's the thing. I think Mike Elko actually is going to get this program to have a heartbeat.
They're going
to
win six games.
Six?
Yes.
You get into some warm high life?
Always.
Okay.
I have them winning six games. I have a bet going with all of my co-hosts that Duke football is going to win six games. Six. They're going to win the first four. Like, let's keep it up. They might not beat Temple, but they have four in a row that they could definitely win.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just got to find two. And you know, somebody's going to go in there thinking that they can't beat Duke. They're going to overthink it, like a Miami, like a North Carolina.
So here's where I draw the line with Miami and North Carolina. I think one of those two teams is going to come out of the Coastal.
Not even Pitt?
No, not even Pitt.
Okay.
Because, I'm sorry, you had Kenny Pickett and Jordan Addison. Like, that's going to be
hard to replace. But what's his name? Garth Bartholomew? Good tight end. That's his name? Hey,
that his name?
It's Bartholomew.
Is it Garth?
I think it is.
I'm going to look this up. That's amazing.
Denied. So here's where we are with my thoughts on Carolina and Miami.
Okay.
It comes down to which coach do you feel is going to be competent enough to get the most out of each team that has talent?
Mario
Cristobal.
Over Mac.
Mario Cristobal is coming into a Miami squad that we know never lacks talent. They have some drop-off issues at wide receiver, and that could be an interesting bit of adversity for Tyler Van Dyke, who came out of nowhere last year. I think he read all of our tweets and just put it in our face. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to have a skill position issue for this upcoming season. Whereas Carolina doesn't seem like they've got one. I mean, they got Josh Downs, who was fantastic.
But is he going to have to do the Sam Howell thing where he has to be the man in all capacities?
Maybe. It also depends if whether or not they actually will understand, hey, this British Brooks guy was pretty good at the end of last season. Maybe we should feed him the ball a little bit more, right?
Sure.
To me, it's Mario Cristobal overall versus the defense and Gene Chizik and actually getting the talent to communicate and be on the same page. We've seen Gene do it before with, technically, if you believe, like, the way people talked about it, a less talented group than what's been apparently being built up with Mac Brown and North Carolina.
Sure.
If they can just cut down on those home run plays that they were allowing other teams to give up, and then, you know, having the offense and Sam Howell to go back out there and try to win it, then I do think that they can be confident, or competent, I guess. Like, they could be 8-4. I know Giglio keeps bringing up 8-4 as a potential season for North Carolina. And you're making a face like, that's too much.
I just feel like Carolina, I've tried to get hype about you. I tell people to temper their expectations about them because last season, everybody really was all in. And I said, you know what? Too many people are all in, which lets me know we're about to crap the bed. Now, I love me some Mac Brown. I do. This is a Mac Brown stan account over here. However, if Bateman was really the only issue that you have going on, then let me know who your starting quarterback is and we can just ride out in the sunset.
Well, Mac Brown has a history of not being afraid of two quarterbacks. So
1,000%, but I'm afraid.
You're afraid.
I'm afraid.
These are valid points to make. These are valid points to make. Maybe they should get a robot at QB.
What?
I don't know. Robots might be taking over soon. We might just be ACC kickoff next year just might be all run by robots. We won't even be there.
I mean, that'd be diversity for once.
And there'd be a lot more diversity on Radio Row with some robots on there.
There you go.
Right now it's time for Rand to live a cappella the news.
Yeah.
It's time for Rand to a cappella the news.
Yes, we're doing it live today.
We're doing it live today. I can't wait.
Because why not? Candace is here. We're going to do it live.
It has nothing
to do with the fact that Matt Rhule, you know, had a press conference at 12:30. Nothing to do with that. No, so speaking of Matt Rhule, actually, we figured things out with Candace here. We're thankful that Candace is here because we figured out that, like, when Matt Rhule starts to talk fast, you know, that's when he's at his most vulnerable, we'll say. So a lot of things were said at the press conference today, and it made me ask, like, Matt, what do you mean? Oh, yeah.
Loving it already.
What do you mean? Whoa, when you say Sam's been great, but then Baker comes in, what do you mean? Hey, yeah, when you lose all the time, but say you want to win, what do you mean? Oh, what do you mean? Because you're running out of time, what do you mean? Whoa, what do you mean? Yeah, who else you gonna sign? What do you mean? What's he doing? He's talking about four quarterbacks. Like, I love PJ Walker, but come on. Matt Corral? Sign Jimmy G. Let's get five of them in there. What are we doing, Matt?
I think Gold made that joke last week while we were at Radio Row when Jimmy Garoppolo was open for business. And there were people who thought he was being serious about it.
I think he is.
No, don't get duped by Gold in that
one. Am I getting duped?
Yeah, you're getting duped. Oh, okay. It was a joke. It's like, well, if you can just catch them all at this point, it's just going to help your room out the same way that Baker Mayfield's just there to help the room out.
NFL Pokemon.
Yeah. Let's just get everybody else's projects and go from there.
Actually, see what sticks.
It basically becomes a fixer-upper show that you sell to HGTV on top of what's going on with the actual NFL season. Speaking of the NFL, one quick note before moving on to Hey Joe questions. It looks like the NFL launched their own or is about to launch their own streaming service called, wait for it, NFL Plus.
Ooh, that was supposed to be your cue for the music. Okay, next time.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus. No, everything is, I love, just throw a plus on it. Yeah. WREL sports fan, plus. Mm-hmm. The plus stands for seeing us on TV. Hey!
Another music drop. Okay.
So cool, the plus.
I'll work on that for the next segment.
So the plus for NFL Plus is essentially what they're doing is they're rolling in NFL Game Pass into this new service. That's going to cost you, I think, $80 for the season or like $9.99 a month. So you get Game Pass. You know, if you're overseas, if you're not in the United States, you can watch. That's how you watch these games live. If you're here in the States and not circumventing your geofence through a VPN, you can watch a game after the fact. We're all 22, right? Wow. Essentially what they're doing is they're taking and you can watch live local games and the regional games on your iPhones, tablets, etc. Essentially what they're doing is they're taking the Verizon deal, because remember, if you were a Verizon customer, you could watch football on your phone. Football on your phone. There was a whole Eli Manning and Peyton Manning rap that went with that. But Verizon was giving the NFL like $2 billion or whatever it was for that deal. The deal ran out. Now the NFL is thinking we'll just make money ourselves. So this, of course, makes people think, well, this is it. The NFL is going to go direct to consumer.
Not so fast.
Not so fast. The NFL is doling out these things technology-wise to their products that aren't as desirable as the actual games. Like Thursday Night Football went to Amazon and Amazon only because Fox was like, I don't know if we're really getting a bang for our buck on this thing.
Yeah.
So it went to Amazon, who wants to chase this. And same with this business with football on your phone. For Verizon, they did the calculus and they're thinking, well, the ability to watch NFL games on Verizon networks was not as appealing as we thought it was going to be, so we're not going to renew it. The same thing goes with the DirecTV package with Sunday Ticket, which I think in 2023 is going to go to likely a streaming service. Those are niche products that make sense for streaming services. We're years away from Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, or those afternoon windows going to a streaming service. Because broadcast networks still understand that's what brings in eyeballs.
Right.
So they'd rather take that guaranteed money from anywhere else than actually trying to create it themselves. If they can make some money off NFL Plus, good for them. Let's answer some Hey Joe questions. Joe cracked the
dawn. All righty, kiddos. First up, and Hey Joe from Bread on Twitter. Not sure if it's white or wheat or whole grain. I don't know, but
rye.
Bread.
Rye.
Yeah, it's
sure.
Rye.
It's rye.
It's pumpernickel. Hey, Joe, how many years would NC State have played in the title game if the conference never had two divisions?
Never.
What?
I mean, look, I'm not trying to dismiss it. There is an argument to be made about divisions that will create an environment that is more difficult for a team like NC State or Carolina to make it to a championship game. If you're just taking the top two teams from the ACC. So that's going to be lost. That was always the argument from the Coastal perspective, is that you could, if your season was always meaningful as long as you were in the hunt for your division. That's going to go away. But the payoff for that, or the trade-off, I should say, is you're going to get more consistent scheduling and you're going to get more consistent matchups that matter to you.
Right.
And I think that's important for television. Is it going to close the revenue gap that we heard so much about last week at ACC kickoff? No. The only thing that's going to close the revenue gap is Notre Dame joining the league and the football playing going back in time and getting Miami and Florida State to not drop off as badly as they've dropped off, including Virginia Tech. So
Which is not happening. So
Yeah,
I agree. But I also think that NC State overall, like if there was ever a year if we're going to get hype about something, this is the year to get hype. This is the year to get hype. 17 returners. Come on, guys.
Let's see what happens.
Buy in.
Next up.
Next up from Zach on Twitter. Hey, Joe, when you go on holiday, do you unpack your suitcase completely or just live out of that? Is there a minimum length of stay that qualifies for unpacking of the suitcase? Also, holiday vacation, is there a difference other than how it's regionally referenced?
He want to know all your business.
Yeah.
I think that's regional. When you say holiday for me, I'm thinking an actual holiday.
Or a Green Day song.
Or that, yes. When I went out to the mountains last week, that's going on a vacation, not a holiday.
Hmm.
That's how I view that. Now, the suitcase question, that's a good question. My usual tactic or technique or whatever is that I will live out of the suitcase unless I have things that need to be ironed. Those immediately come out and I'll steam them in the bathroom to get the wrinkles out.
So you don't use the actual iron?
No, I'm too lazy for that.
Okay. Does your wife iron yourself or she makes you do
it?
No. Okay. I mean, you never know.
I will do that.
Yeah, okay.
If I actually use an iron.
Oh. What do you need iron on a vacation?
Well, I mean, it could be for like for instance, my brother's getting married. So later this year. Or I went to two weddings in a row last fall. And like the one that I had to go to in California, I did not want to put on I did not want to check a bag, so I stuffed a suit into my carry-on.
Oh, Lord, help us.
So I ran the shower as hot as I possibly could in the bathroom.
Does it actually work?
It does. It does work.
I've tried it. It has never worked for me.
It actually works. I got some creases out. So that was
some creases?
Some.
Please do the disclaimer. Because so, people are going to be out here steaming and wasting water.
So my typical actions are to live out of the suitcase and create a dirty clothes pile that I'll then shove back into the suitcase on my way home.
You know that hotels have these things, like if you want to do laundry, but then you actually don't really, they have these plastic bags you can use. Maybe you should throw your dirty clothes and not mix with the clean clothes.
On the way back, I don't care.
But then you might as well just wash everything. Do you wash everything when you get home?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. The only thing, I only bring like one extra shirt and one extra underwear. That's it.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's it.
That's such a man.
Why was that a man?
Because you gotta have the just in case.
I have one extra.
Just one?
Just one.
You never know.
If it's that bad.
If you sweat through your drawers in multiple days, you need multiple pairs.
If it's that bad, I'm just going to go to a laundromat.
Are you?
I've done it
before.
That's
an extra trip for no reason.
A couple years ago, I hit five different national parks, and in Bryce Canyon, I spent a good chunk of the morning washing clothes.
Are you staying at a Motel 6 where they don't have laundromats on site?
No, it's when you stay at a national park hotel, that's typically how it works.
Oh, you know I don't be doing none of that. Nature stuff? No.
No nature stuff?
No, not, what did you say you stay at? The Burnett National Treasure Parks? No.
Okay.
Candace said you'd be in the forest.
Candace said that's what we have Nat Geo for.
So in Charlotte, how much clothes did you bring?
I brought too many.
How many outfits?
I could barely close.
How many outfits did you leave? Like unworn.
I had at least three outfits. Because, you know, you never know the vibe, right? Like, how am I feeling post-ACC media day? Like, do I want to look cute at the, you know, whatever it's called, the tailgate?
Hospitality.
Or do I just want to wear what I'm wearing? I never wear what I originally wore. That's just too much.
Oh. Yeah, there's definitely a difference between dudes just roll up. Actually, dudes will just dress down like, I wasn't a shirt and a tie or whatever. Now I'm in a shirt and shorts wearing Birkenstocks. I may or may not have been that guy.
I mean, but girls are different. I mean, women are different.
No, there are some dudes that go there dressed up
nice
as well.
Some women are committed to heels all day, which God bless your
good
corns.
Luck.
God
good
bless
luck.
The corns on your feet.
Next up.
Next up from Hank on Twitter. Hey, Joe, does it count as a Rickroll if you actively went to PNC to see Rick Astley do Never Gonna Give You Up?
No. No. Oh. It's
what
not.
What is a Rickroll?
So Rickroll is an ancient internet meme. I'm being serious.
Yeah.
So the Rickroll was people would send you an email like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this happened. And they would send you to a YouTube link where it was just Rick Astley doing Never Gonna Give You Up, right?
Yeah.
So Kelly and I took our 14-year-old and our 11-year-old to this New Kids on the Block show on Friday. A lot of people were out there sweating at that Dave Matthews show. I was so happy to be inside PNC Arena on Friday night. So we ended up going there. Kelly's a huge New Kids on the Block fan. It's fine. They're entertaining. It was a fun show. And my kids geeked the hell out when Rick Astley came out. Now, he made you wait for Never Gonna Give You Up. He actually came out and did Together Forever first.
He should.
And then he went off stage and other people came out. And then he came back on stage, did Never Gonna Give You Up, and people lost it. My kid hates I don't want to do social media. I don't really care about that stuff. Oh, he definitely wanted to show his friends Never Gonna Give You Up. Like, haha, Rickroll.
Yeah.
So Rickroll it stood the test of time on internet memes.
Gotcha.
Now, Salt and Pepper were at this mixtape tour. And as I mentioned earlier, I had what you could describe as formative MTV crushes on Salt and Pepper. And Pepper has not aged. She looks the exact same.
Yeah, stacked and everything.
So they came out and they did Shoop, and I had a moment. Although I had even more of a moment when Donnie Wahlberg came out and actually did the rap in Shoop.
Okay.
And that was pretty entertaining.
Donnie Wahlberg.
I thought you were going to say In Vogue was the group that you were like, In Vogue.
It was Salt and Pepper.
They're all beautiful, by the way.
They're all beautiful. I agree with you. When they did Don't Let Go Love, they just belted it out.
Yeah.
It was great. But no,
When you heard Ooh Baby Baby, you were like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Baby
when,
Baby.
Yeah, when did they push it? When did they push it? Oh, and
real good.
When they did Let's Talk About Sex, I looked over at my 14-year-old. I was like, this is a continuation of human growth and development. You're going to learn more from this song than you did in the Wake County School. I'm just letting you know.
Yes.
He's like, ha ha, dad. I'm like, no, listen to the lyrics.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Listen to these lyrics.
Learn
Very
something.
Important. Learn something today. It's an educational experience.
Parenting.
All right, next up.
Oh, no, Joe.
Last up from Hal on
Twitter.
Which,
real quick, my 14-year-old's seeing the extremes of the 90s. Because Friday was this mixtape tour. I'm taking him to go see Rage Against the Machine on Sunday.
Oh, my gosh.
You see it both ends of the spectrum.
Oh, I love Rage. Where are they playing it?
PNC on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I love me some Rage.
PNC's doing it right.
Okay. Yeah, they are. They are.
With the highway.
Well,
and
actually,
AC.
What's another funny note about that show Friday, for the first time I've ever been at PNC Arena, I've been going to PNC Arenas ever since it opened its doors. For the first time ever, I was told I could not go in the men's bathroom.
Excuse me? You had to hold it?
No. I had to go to another men's bathroom in Section 130. The reason why is that it was a sold-out show filled with probably, I would estimate, 90% women. Which, whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
So when I went to the bathroom, one of the security guys just starts looking at me and laughing. He's like, yeah, man, not this one. I go, what do you mean? It's like, there's nobody in here. He goes, no, we've had to convert this one for women as well. You can go down to Section 130. I think that's the one guy's bathroom that's open. I just laughed. I go, you know what? I get it.
Respect.
Respect. I respect it. All right.
Ladies were out.
Next up.
Oh, no.
Last
Joe.
Up from Hal on Twitter. Hey, Joe, a chess robot broke a 7-year-old's finger during a tournament in Russia. What do you think this does for the future of human versus robot sports competitions?
I say it's time to shut it down.
Broke his finger.
Yeah. This was in some like Russian It was some Russian chess tournament.
So does someone control the robot and they got too intense and they decided to break? The robot himself was like, well, the robot figure.
Itself.
How nerdy do you want to get on this?
A rabbit hole.
All right. So the robot is not controlled by anybody.
Okay.
The robot actually has its own, it runs its own, like it has a camera, it sees the chess pieces, it does the calculations, and then it does its thing, right?
Yeah.
There is, the problem with these little robot arms is that they don't have any sort of hit detection. Like if it feels like it touched something that's not supposed to be there, it won't like back off. Oh. It just keeps going. So apparently it broke the child's finger and
Did it see the child's face and react in a way? There got to be more to the story.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the video and it's like straight up like went at the kid. It's like the child made a move. This is actually from the Russian, this is all translated. The child made a move, and after that, we needed to give the time for the robot to answer, but the boy hurried. The robot grabbed him. We have nothing to do with the robot.
Got to put out a disclaimer.
All I know is that this is how The Matrix started. Okay?
Never seen, but I assume.
I'm pretty sure this is how Terminator started.
That either, but yep.
So I believe... Do we have the robot on the phone?
We do.
Did we get the robot?
We did.
All right, so we have this Russian chess-playing robot on the Heister Automotive Group hotline.
Putting the graphic up there.
Okay, we thank the robot for the time. So I guess we should ask this chess-playing robot. So what exactly happened here?
I think his finger was broken before we started.
Ooh.
Oh. Oh. Right. That's an interesting... Like, no...
I would appreciate it a Russian accent, but here we are.
We have video of you breaking the finger. It wasn't broken before that. So why did you break the finger?
He was talking trash.
This is the Russian robot that we're talking to that broke this kid's finger. So what did the kid say?
I don't want to say.
Oh, come on. what did the kid say that got you to break his finger?
He called me C-3PO. He said all robots look alike.
Oh, that's not cool. That is not cool. You can't say that.
That's fair.
That's really not fair. And did the kid say anything else?
He also tried to castle when he had already moved his king. Not on my watch.
Nah, you can't do that.
Oh, yeah. That's
the
rules.
Kid was trying to cheat. No, can't try to do
that's
that.
That's fair.
So this is the Russian robot that we're talking to that broke this kid's finger. On the Heister Automotive Group hotline, did you apologize?
I have nothing to apologize for.
Period.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
Period.
I guess that castle move really set the robot off. All right, that's cool. So, but what if, like, the parents decide to sue you for breaking the kid's finger? I mean, that's assault.
They can kiss my 1100.
Oh, okay. Cut off the robot. Did you hit the dump button?
I don't think you can say that. I think I missed it.
There will be no robotic profiling around here. Do you understand? Kiss my 1125378. Okay. She said, next customer.
Robot got binary. Wow. That's ridiculous. Woof.